We're in the series, second week of the series, Trusting God in Difficult Days, and we're going to talk about the help of His countenance. Difficult has been defined as hard, something that's not easy. It could be challenging. It requires specific skill set and much preparation and labor. And I know that difficult days come, but they also go. And we have to remember that there are times where there are challenges in life where things are not easy. They are hard, but that doesn't make and shouldn't make our life difficult. It's just a difficult day. And it's like any other day. It's going to come and go. But how we handle that day really is very, very important as to, you know, how we grow and develop and really what we learn about ourselves and how we can continue to develop in our relationship with the Lord. So here's some examples of difficult. And I know all of us can identify with one of these at least. It's difficult to understand or solve. Have you ever made that statement? Difficult to deal with, please, or satisfied? Maybe with an unhappy customer. I think people in customer service probably live by that every single day. How about difficult to instruct or persuade? Maybe you have a strong-willed child. Have you ever had someone who's difficult to instruct or persuade? And you, I mean, it doesn't matter how you... How you wrap the bait around trying to get them to bite. They're like, nope, nope, nope. And you're like, come on, just say yes, just say yes. And they don't like green beans. Babies don't like green beans. And there's right on top. And sometimes they learn by experience in the school of hard knocks. But The good thing is we just want people to keep learning. So difficult to instruct or persuade. Difficult decision to make. And we've used that phrase, you know, I feel like I am in a very challenging place, a hard place. I know I have to make the decision, but I'm sort of torn between two right now. I'm not quite sure which way to go. And so difficult environment to work. How about a difficult economy. Sometimes we talk about, how about a difficult political climate right now in the world in which we live. And it wasn't always this way, but right now it's very challenging. It used to be that people behaved up on the hill and they treated one another in civil ways. And now they don't want to fix problems. They just want to fight. And it's just unfortunate. And we as a nation are suffering as a result of it. And there is a lot of suffering and pain and that's going on. Difficult days were forecast by God that in the end times there would be challenging, difficult, hard, not easy. Even in some translations say evil days would be upon the earth, days of darkness. But it doesn't mean that we lose our hope or we lose our way or we lose our faith. I think in one way it's like a plant. If you overwater a plant, you're going to kill it. And if you don't water enough, you're going to kill it. But if you give it just the right amount of water and sunshine and fresh air, it's going to grow and it's going to develop a root system. And I think that, you know, we're likened to trees, we're likened to plants. That analogy is used throughout Scripture. And, of course, we want to be well-watered. But at the same time, there are some difficult and, what we say, challenging or dry days that come into our life that allow our root systems to go down deeper into Christ and so that we can be more fruitful for Him. So if you want to, focus on the negative in life, we're going to get the negative. But if we want to focus on Christ in the midst of difficulty, we're going to get Christ's rewards and Christ's blessing. So we're going to, you know, and I've written in your notes, in trying or difficult days, we are instructed to seek the face of God or to look unto Him. While we know that no one can directly look into the face of God and live, we also know that looking unto Him is possible. And therein is the key, is that, you know, Moses asked, you know, can I see your face? And the Lord said, no, you cannot see my face, but I will pass before you and you can see my hinder parts. And he declared that no one could see his glory and live. And no one has seen God from a physical standpoint and ever live. Even the Mount of Transfiguration where Jesus, who is God, was transfigured and was all of those those men, when he was transfigured and he was talking with Moses and Elijah, they were all sleeping. I mean, the three that went up with him on the mount, they weren't awake during that account. They woke up afterwards and they got a glimpse. But then as soon as they were aware of it, I mean, the Lord was there. And then, you know, Peter began his conversation. And so the Hebrew word for face in the Old Testament is often translated presence. And so when we seek the face of God, we are seeking his presence. And so here we are in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Let's pick up in the 12th verse. And this is the second time that the Lord's appeared to Solomon. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night, and he said to him, I've heard your prayers and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. And when I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence upon among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sins, and will hear their land. Verse 14 is one that we many times focus on, but they're seeking the Lord in what kind of season? Well, the heavens are shut up and there's no rain, and the locusts are devouring the land or the crops, and there's pestilence among the people, or there's a plague among the people. And those are difficult days. And then God said, in the midst of these very challenging, hard, not easy days, things that are going to require a certain amount of preparation and planning, if my people, my covenant people, would begin to seek me and call upon my name, then there would be change. He's not calling for the world to seek him, even though we ask people to seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. This is a direct appeal and invitation unto the people of God. In other words, I believe that when we seek the Lord, then it makes a difference in the land that we live. And it can actually turn the tide from difficult to where God gets glory. But we have a part to play. This is the covenant relationship that God has established with us. And so he's inviting us into this relationship to pray. Psalms, let's continue to read. Verse 15, it says, now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. What a wonderful promise. And we see eyes and ears, then we have to recognize that God has a face. Now, we haven't seen him face to face. One day we will. But right now, that's not a reality. That's not something that we can experience. But we can experience the blessing of seeking his face, of seeking his presence. And we can see difficult days turned into days, once again, where we can see the blessing of the Lord, and we can see healing, and we can see restoration, and we can see situations turned around for good. But we have to do our part. I also want to read Psalms 24 and then Psalms 105. So if you want to follow along with me, we're going to go to the right in your Bible, and we're going to go to Psalms 24. Many of you have may be aware of this, but there might be some that in our midst tonight that have never heard the story of Psalm 22, 23, and 24. It's a trilogy. And long before George Lucas came up with Star Wars and the trilogy of Star Wars, God had it in his word. So Psalm 22, 23, and 24 are one story. Psalm 22 talks about the suffering Savior. Psalms 23 talks about the Lord, our shepherd, our Savior. And then Psalms 24 talks about the coming King, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And in Psalms 24, verses 4 through 9, the psalmist writes, he who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek his face. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. And then it goes on. Let's just continue to read. We'll finish out the psalm. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. He starts off this psalm by asking questions. Who's going to dwell in the house of the Lord? Who can actually be there? And then he answers this question. He who has clean hands and a pure heart, not lifted up his soul to an idol, sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing of the Lord and the righteousness from God of his salvation. But then he makes this appeal to seek the Lord and to seek his face, that this is the generation that will experience the presence and the blessing of the Lord. And then in Psalms 105, verses 1 through 6, Psalms 105, 1 through 6, it says, O give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing psalms to him, talk of all his wondrous works, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O seed of Abraham, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen ones. And through Christ, we are the seed of Abraham. Here we are called to seek the face of the Lord forever. We can't see him face to face, but we can look unto him and we can call upon him and we can come to him. And when we do so, we can see our life enriched and we can see our land healed and we can see salvation come to those that are lost. We can experience the blessing of the Lord. Now, I have written there the blessing of God's promise, because God wouldn't ask us to seek him unless he could be found. We can't see him, but we can seek him. And it's not that he's playing hide and seek. It's just he's protecting us from his glory, because the glory of the Lord is pure and holy, and our flesh would fail in his presence. But there is a part of us that cries out to him. And what part is that? That's our heart. Our heart cries out unto the Lord. And the psalmist talks about this continually. My heart cries out to him. I thirst for him. I hunger for him. That's not a physical hunger or thirst. That's a hunger and a desire of our heart, of our soul, to what? To encounter his presence, to be transformed by his countenance. Even though I can't see his countenance, I can be changed by his countenance. Because when I seek him, I find him. It doesn't mean I see him. It means I discover something about him. I encounter him. I experience something. And I'm so thankful that he said, seek and you shall find. And call upon him while he's near. And I'm so thankful that we can call upon the Lord and his ears are open to our prayers. So let's take a look at these promises and these blessings that come from the presence of the Lord. In Psalms 16:11, it says there's fullness of joy in the presence of the Lord. You're right there in the psalm. So if you want to just turn back a few pages, I think it's always good for our eyes to look upon the Word of God, to handle the Word of God, and to hear the Word of God. So here we go. Psalm 16:11, it says, you will show me the paths of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. This is the psalmist talking about the hope that he has because of God's faithfulness and the victory he can experience because of God's goodness. And he said, you're going to show me the path that I need to take. So when you need to make a decision and it's difficult and you're caught in the middle and you don't know to go to the right or go to the left, call upon the Lord. His countenance will shine upon you. His countenance will show you which path to take, which decision you need to make. And waiting is part of calling, because when you call, your posture and your position yourself to hear what he has to say. You're calling because you need help. Because why? Sometimes days are hard. Things are difficult. They're challenging. They're not easy. Sometimes we don't understand what's going on. Sometimes we long to understand and we lack understanding. What do we do in those moments? Well, we seek the Lord. We seek his face. We call upon him. We thank God for his presence. And when his presence manifest, then we know what we have to do. He shines a light on the path that we need to take. Fullness of joy. I'm so thankful that if your joy tank is somewhat empty, it will be filled in the presence of the Lord. It will be filled in His presence. So Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3 and 4. Probably some of the most comforting words that Isaiah gives us in this prophetic book. God promises us perfect peace. Verse 3 and 4, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah the Lord is everlasting strength. Is everlasting strength. This is a song that Isaiah sang over the people of God, that he, God, would keep them in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. He relies, he depends upon the Lord. Trust in the Lord forever, yet, for in Yah the Lord is everlasting strength. He's also a constant comfort. And there, once again, is Doug's typo. Do you see that right there? Is there such word as comport? I don't know. Maybe there is. Well, tonight, let's just believe that it's not comport, but it's comfort. All right? And so we'll just transpose that P to an F. And you say, do you do that intentionally? No, I'm just not that brilliant. I do that accidentally. It takes brilliance to do something that intentional consistently. I don't have that skill set. But I do have the one of not being perfect. How many of you can identify with that? Yeah. Charlene says, you need someone to look at your work. And I said, why? It's hard for me to look at it. And I said, why would I want anybody else to look at it? So Psalms 145, verse 17 through 19. And when I really felt prompted to start handing out outlines, I was like, you know, I've got a lot of other things I'd rather do than just show my humanity to everybody. Nonetheless, here it is. Psalms 145, verse 17 through 19, it says, the Lord is righteous in all of his ways, gracious in all of his works. If you don't have the word all circled in your Bible, would you consider doing that or highlight it just so that you can remember how powerful those words are. The Lord is gracious to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desires of those who fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless his holy name forever and forever. Praise the Lord. There's constant comfort in the presence of the Lord. The blessing of God's presence is there's fullness of joy. There's perfect peace. There's constant comfort. And last of all, there's transformation that happens. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the apostle Paul is writing to the church, and he reminds us of this truth in verse 18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of God. So when we're seeking the face of God, when we're calling upon the Lord, when we're drawing near to Him, we're experiencing His presence or His glory, and it's the Spirit of the Lord that we encounter. And in verse 18, it reminds us now we have unveiled faces. He's referring to a time where the people of God couldn't experience the presence of God the way that we can in the New Testament. So he's making reference to the Old Testament and specifically to Moses. And where Moses went up onto the mountain of God and was in the presence of God for 40 days and 40 nights. And when he came down from the mountain of God, the people could not look upon him because he had been transformed or changed in the presence of the Lord. And so they put a veil over Moses' face so that when he would speak to them, that they would find comfort, because they were distraught when they saw his face, because they saw the reflection of the glory of God and they shrunk back. And that took place numerous times. But now in the New Testament, because of what Jesus has done, he has made a way for us to enter into the presence of God with unveiled faces, so that we can behold the beauty of the Lord and we can be transformed and changed from faith to faith and glory to glory. And so I've closed our lesson with this reminder. Let us ever be mindful that God wants to shine his countenance upon us and bless us. Numbers chapter 6 is many times given as a closing benediction in the church. And it's where Moses had commanded Aaron and his sons to bless the people of the Lord when they departed. And verse 24 through 26, the blessing was, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." Now, while we cannot see God face to face, God sees us face to face. And when he shines his countenance upon us, think about the things that we've already been reminded of or may be instructed in tonight, that in difficult days, hard days, not easy, challenging days, things that we don't understand, problems we can't solve, challenging people to deal with, difficult work environments to be productive in, hard decisions to make, difficult times economically, divisive times politically, that God's face, when he shines his face upon us, then it brings the glory of his light. And we experience the fullness of joy. We experience perfect peace. We experience the comfort of the Lord. And we are changed and transformed. Why? So that we can live this life graciously and for his glory and for his honor. In difficult days, God needs lighthouses. He needs us to be salty. Charlene buys a product for us that we put in our water, and it's called Element. And Element's, one of their mantras is stay salty. When my dad would talk to me occasionally, he would say of certain baseball players, like Stan Musial, he would say he's a salty baseball player, or he would refer to an athlete as salty. He would also say, you know, in regards to some of the people that he worked with and coworkers, that they were worth their salt. And I understood what he meant. They're worth their weight in gold. People that are bringing light, people bringing salt into the world are worth their weight in gold. And these are the people that we're called to be, the people of God, the people that can call upon the Lord, that can seek him, and in seeking we can find him. I know we're never going to see him on this side of eternity. One day that we will, but we can encounter his goodness, his presence, and we can carry that to other people who are hurting and in their difficult days. As the Lord has helped us, we can help others. As the Lord has ministered to us, we can minister to others. And I want to encourage each and every one of us that don't get all worked up about the difficult days. Remember who we're called to seek and what the results are when we call upon him. And let's continue to call upon him. Our countenance needs to be different than the countenance of the world. Our countenance needs to be lifted up. And there needs to be a sense of hope that people have when they encounter us, because we've been in the presence of the Lord. And he's not just exclusive company. He's there for all of us now. And he's rich to all who call upon his name. And he's available to all who call upon him. We need to encourage people in the day that we live in to call upon the name of the Lord, because when they do so, they're going to encounter his presence. They're going to encounter his countenance, and they are going to be changed. And his countenance is going to shine a light on their path and help them in their difficult moments also. So let's be a blessing, and let's let God's light and the salt that he has put within us be a blessing to others.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged or inspired you to God's best. If you have any questions about today's message, need prayer, or would like to learn more about Living Word Fellowship, please call 641 641- 828-7119 or visit us at lwfknoxville.com.